Hey, welcome to Mended Futures, where real stories remind us that broken doesn't mean the end. It's just the beginning of something new.
I'm Evan Bergener.
And I'm Liz Mahan. We're the new season two hosts, and together our goal is to share powerful, true stories of resilience, redemption, and hope.
Each week, we'll walk with people through the valleys and celebrate the moments when light breaks through.
Because every future can be mended, one story at a time. Hey everyone, welcome back to episode two of Mended Future season two. And today, y'all, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest with us today, our very own Evan Bergener.
What? They let us back for episode two?
I know.
That's crazy. They didn't fire us. We did a decent job.
I think we're doing great so far.
How about that?
So good. Well, I'm so excited to kind of dive in. Learn more about your why, learn more about you and why you feel called to 518. I know we kind of focused on me last time, so I'm excited to kind of turn the tables and I'll be the question asker. So I want to jump in right away because I would love to know, what is your why for working at 518? Because I actually don't know if I'm sure of the answer to this question.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'll give you the long version. So, a little bit of my background coming into 518. I used to work at an event management company here in Lynchburg for a few years. And I worked with my good friend Rachel Lee there for a time. And she came on to Patrick Henry Family Services at the time, now 518. And she let me know about the donor engagement coordinator job opening up. She thought I'd be a good fit for it. So I did a little bit of research. And of course, I look on the website, I learn about the mission, everything that we do here. And I thought, what a great cause to get behind. But as I kind of went through the process, I was fortunate enough to get the job. My why kind of developed even deeper after that. Because yes, I love the mission, but it kind of clicked for me when I learned about the ACEs test, which I believe stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. It's like 10 questions. A lot of people in the organization, if not everybody, went through that test just to kind of see if they had any of those experiences. And I didn't have any. I'm very fortunate in that. That's not a very common thing with folks that work in our particular space. And I thought, I really want to be a part of this. I want people to have a chance at a childhood like I had. I feel very fortunate that I had two loving parents that, like, they did the best they could. And I think they did an amazing job. Not because I'm great or anything, but I just think they did a really good job raising myself and my brother. And I want families to be in that position to be set up for a childhood like that. So that's my why.
No, I think that's really beautiful, honestly, because like you said, a lot of people here just in the nonprofit field in general have experienced things that make them passionate about working here. And I think it's really cool that you come from a completely different angle of, I did have a really great childhood and I want to do my part to make that a reality for other people. So I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm blessed to be able to have that background.
For sure.
Yeah.
Love. So you were talking about your position here. Do we want to explain to everyone what you do? Because what I know you do is you pull reports, a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of data. But how would you summarize what you do here at 518?
Yeah, lots of reports, yes. But for those who don't know, my role, I'm primarily the admin of our database where we keep all of our donor information. So like whenever we send out a mailer or invites to an event or something like that, I kind of pull those addresses, those names, and I work with our marketing team a lot to help put those items together, make sure we're sending it to the right people. We're not sending people too much mail, that kind of thing. So that's one thing I do. I work with accounting, with a lot of reporting, especially when it comes to gift processing. Any gift that comes through, I have to put eyes on it. I have to categorize it and log it into our database and then make sure that people are being thanked right. So I work with you, Liz, a lot. I send out receipts. Liz sends out a lot of thank yous, personal thank yous as well. So there's a lot of collaboration with that. But even though my role is a lot of information, it's a lot of numbers, it is just another way of supporting our team in the efforts to make donors feel seen and cared for when they choose to partner with us in our mission.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. No, I'm always blown away by what you do. Like, I'll ask Evan for a report on something, and within 2 seconds, Evan has it. And I'm like, so I didn't even fully type out what I needed. That's crazy. So you're really great at what you do. I'm glad that you're here. And you've been here. Tell the people, how long have you been here?
I believe it's been a year and 9 months at this point.
Coming on 2 years.
January 2024. And the time has really flown by. It's been great being a part of this team and a really cool change. So yeah, it's absolutely flown.
What do you think is one thing you've kind of like learned about yourself or your interests or things you're passionate about with the position that you work here?
Oh, wow. Like professionally or just personally?
You can interpret that as you will.
Wow. I think one thing, switching from my old position to working here personally, was that I actually am kind of a social person. I was just really burnt out because I was very like talking in front of people all the time and dealing with conflict and like things that come up at events all the time. It was like long hours, long weeks. And I had absolutely nothing at the end of the day a lot of the time. But when I came here and there's, you know, this great work-life balance that we're blessed to have here, I was able to be like, oh, I actually do like going out and meeting people sometimes. I was just absolutely exhausted. So that's one thing. But two, I do really like, within my position, I like being able to optimize things, make things easier on other people. Like, you know, I've worked with you on like automations for reminding people about certain things, or thanking people in a certain way, reminding them when it's somebody's birthday, thanking them for that, or, you know, saying happy birthday to them, sending them a card, whatever it is. I like being able to make little improvements that over time make a lot of difference. That's something that I've found is a passion of mine specifically through working here.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I want to say, I feel like you're really good at that. Like, you're really good at making people's lives easier. I know you make my job easier, but the organization as a whole, because you're very like detail oriented. So I think it's really cool that like you're passionate about that, and also learning you're a social person, because I would consider you a social person, and I feel like you're very good at kind of linking people and connecting people. So I love that you're learning that about yourself too. That's so cool.
Thank you.
I would love to know what you did like before this. What did you study in school? Kind of your background of how you got here. I know kind of like when you work in the nonprofit space, you don't ever really picture yourself working in the nonprofit space. You kind of just end up here. So like what kind of got you to working here at 518?
Sure. Yeah. No, I went to Liberty. I'm initially from the Shenandoah Valley, and I moved here for school in the fall of 2017. And I studied sport management in college, because growing up, even in like middle school, I was looking at colleges and being like, I want to study sport management. I can't believe anybody would ever do a job outside of that world. It was the only thing I thought that was interesting at the time. And it was. I went through school. I worked jobs here and there with the Hillcats for a little bit. I worked on campus doing like some service hours, but in the hockey rink, which was a cool way of doing that. And through that, I got to work on campus with Rhino Sports, the company that I would eventually get hired on full time. I worked part time all the way through college, got an internship there, and eventually worked up to full time. So I was in event management, and I had a great experience, like so many wonderful people, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I did, like, towards the end of my employment there, I was starting to get a little burnt out. There were some... It's a grind. It's long weeks.
For sure.
A lot of events, just like things constantly changing, moving parts. And we were doing a good job, I thought. It was just kind of wearing me out a little bit. And I thought, you know, my time may come to move on. And that's where I made that connection with Rachel. And she was able to bring me on here, because when I was there, I had to master and learn like a payroll platform and a scheduling platform and come up with the processes and all of that stuff while I was there. So that it was a really cool God thing, because I got to do that, I ended up being able to translate that into this job where I'm admin of a database. I have to come up with the process of who gets to do what in the database and all that good stuff. So it was really cool how it all worked out that I ended up pivoting from sports of all places into the nonprofit space. So
love.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Glad you're here. And I think it's really cool, like the skill set, how transferable it is. and how you like apply that here. And I think too, like burnout is such a real thing, like especially if like work-life boundaries aren't the best, or it's like really long days and exhausting and things like that. So burnout is definitely real. How do you kind of like prevent burnout now, like in your role, and like what do you do for rest outside of work?
Yeah, it's a great question. First and foremost, I'm not always great at this, but I do my best to not look at emails or any sort of work communications when I'm outside of my normal working hours, just to kind of protect that boundary and maintain that.
Yeah.
But I also just make sure it's nice to have things to look forward to. So I do like hang out with my good friends. I have some at work here that I get the fortune to hang out with outside of work. And I find that very restful. But of course, you also need time just with yourself, or I spend time with my wife. We like to travel every now and then. We like to, you know, exercise. She's a big runner. I'm a gym goer. Like we do that. Sometimes we do it together. Yeah. There's a lot of rest in that. But also we just like to just have an afternoon. There's absolutely nothing going on.
Yes.
Nobody needs anything from us. Mm-hmm. And we just do our thing, whatever that looks like that day.
Yeah.
Just creating space for that. And I also find a lot of rest in like listening to music. I do that all the time. That's a huge passion of mine. So it's like when I'm working or when I'm not working, just finding the right thing to have on in the background to kind of soundtrack your day just brings me a lot of energy and helps me get my rest too.
I love that.
Yeah.
And shout out to Caitlin.
Yes, we love Caitlin.
We love
Caitlin. Me the most, though.
No, I think that's really, really cool. And I think, too, sometimes with rest, I can struggle with rest a lot. And I think we touched on this last episode, how rest can be really hard for some people, or people kind of think of rest being like, I'm just sitting on my couch watching TV, or I'm sitting on my couch doing nothing and numbing out and doom scrolling. But I think it's really cool that you kind of analyze, like, what does my heart need? And like, what does my soul need? And I'll go do that. So it's like, it's kind of like a, I don't know, like rest isn't a one size fits all, that you can kind of do whatever is best for you in that moment. So like you said, some days are good for just hanging out with friends. Other days it's like, I am going to sit on my couch and I'm going to watch TV or like listen to music or things like that. So
I think it's going to feel bad about it.
Right. Cause we do love rest. It's so good.
Exactly.
I love that. No, that's awesome. And I think that's really cool that you can kind of like evaluate as you go, and it's not putting pressure on yourself to rest like a certain way. I think that's really, really good. I'd love to kind of like learn, because you asked me this last episode, but I know that doing the podcast is kind of out of our comfort zones. We have expressed that.
Yes.
But we're strong and brave.
We are.
I would love to know, like, what are you most excited for this season? What were you most excited for when you were approached about this? What was going through your head when you were approached about like hosting the podcast? I'd love to know all those things.
Well, to answer the last question first, when I was approached, I was like, who, me? Like, I thought they were talking to someone else at first.
It's like you're looking behind you like,
yeah, who? Exactly. I'm like, who around me could this be directed to? No, but I thought it was nice that someone thought that I would be good for this. Mm-hmm. So that was very much appreciated by me. But also one of the main drivers for wanting to do this is I learn the most about other people and other organizations when it's more of a intimate kind of one-on-one, or there's only a few people involved
for
in the
sure.
conversation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversations we have out in the community, and some great ones where there's a lot of people in the room.
Yeah.
We're able to make those connections. But me personally, I find it much easier and a lot better more often than not to just have like that one-on-one time where you're getting to learn what these other people do, what these other organizations do, and be able to go at length and not feel like you have to go talk to someone else here in a few minutes, or, you know, people aren't in a rush to like get to the next meeting or whatever it may be. So I'm really looking forward to those conversations and learning more about lots of other great organizations and wonderful people in the community. All the work that they do. That's what I'm looking forward to the most.
For sure. Yeah. And kind of learning the why behind like what they do too, I think is going to be really cool this season. I think it's going to be really cool. And yeah, it's so much comes out of just intentional like one-on-one conversations, or like you said, smaller groups, because it's so hard to kind of lock in and focus and hear someone's entire story and like, here's my heart and soul when it's a room full of people and everyone's moving around. So it's really cool the opportunity we get here to kind of like slow down the pace intentionally and just ask people about their lives and their stories. So I think it'll be really, really cool. Exciting things. What are some things, because I know like we're talking about like being outside of our comfort zone and doing some new things like we've never tried before. What are like, who are some people or like what are words that you live by in a way of like inspiring you to get out of your comfort zone or to make you better? What are kind of some things that push you to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. As far as people that inspire me, I've been able through my professional career so far, hasn't been that long. But so far I've had a string of really good bosses. Mm-hmm. So far, like for example, when I worked at the Hillcats, Matt Ramstead was the food and bev director at the time. I was able to learn from him specifically kind of how, you know, things are going haywire all the time. Mm-hmm. In the food and bev world. And especially in like minor league baseball, you know, it's a relatively small operation, but whenever something would go crazy and like stuff's going wrong left and right, I never really saw Matt panic. Mm. Even though I know there were times when that was definitely probably going on inside.
Yeah, yeah.
If the person at the top is staying even keeled and just like, all right, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. We're going to do what we can about it. I kind of try and carry that with me wherever I go. And so that's kind of one thing I learned from him. Another one was my boss, Robert Duff at Rhino Sports. He's another guy that's very instrumental to my professional development so far. Mm-hmm. He was so good and taught this to everybody that was in leadership while I was working with him, and he continues to. But we were all about taking care of the staff first.
Yeah.
We could not do what we were doing without them.
Yeah.
We can come up with the best game plan in the world to serve people the best and just come up with all these great materials to hand out to everybody. But if mm-hmm. the staff doesn't show up for the day, mm-hmm. then we're going to fail.
Yeah.
So you take care of the staff first, and then they will take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
But just treating people right, making sure when they show up to work, it's they feel cared for. They're not just a number.
Yeah.
And that there's meaning to what they're doing.
Yeah.
Regardless of what job they have on that individual day.
Yeah.
So that's something I really try to keep in mind with my relationships. We do a lot of collaboration here at 518. So mm-hmm. hopefully the people that I interact with feel that what they're doing is important and that I appreciate them.
Mm.
And that's something that I really try to model myself after.
Yeah.
In my professional life. And lastly, another one from him was just making a decision sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's because analysis paralysis is such a thing.
It's so real.
I know a lot of people that kind of struggle with that. And mm-hmm. I still do for sure. But sometimes, especially when you're in a position of leadership, you've been empowered to make decisions. You can get so caught up in thinking about things and mm-hmm. like, oh, well, what if this goes wrong? What if this goes wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Just go with the information that you have at the time,
mm-hmm.
that do what you think is right. Mm-hmm. And if it goes wrong down the line, wear it. And just be like, yep, mm-hmm. that was me at the time. I thought this was the right decision.
Yeah.
Even if it sounds stupid in retrospect, like you're going to fail. It's going to happen. So just make a decision.
Yeah.
So those are some really good ones. And I think words to live by personally, this is going to sound so cheesy. But one thing that I've kind of a sort of mantra that I have as of late,
mm-hmm.
it's inspired by a song I heard once, which is funny because there's like no lyrics or anything whatsoever, but the song title is called "For You I Will." And mm-hmm. I kind of like just seeing that phrase, like there's nothing in the song that even indicates it,
mm-hmm.
but I look at it as a reminder to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's God, for my God, I will fill in the blank.
Yeah.
For the person in front of me, I will fill in the blank. For my spouse, I will blank. And you can customize that however you want to. But I have it like hung up at my desk. I have it hung up a few other places just as kind of a reminder that I'm here to serve whoever's in front of me or, you know, whatever you put into those blanks. Like for you, I'm going to do whatever it is. So
I love that. Yeah. That's really precious. That's not cheesy.
Thank you.
We
Thank
affirm
you.
It.
I appreciate that.
That's awesome. Where do you think, like, have you kind of been passionate your whole life about serving? Because I know you've touched on like, you really like making people's lives easier and you like caring for people and what you just said about serving. Has that always kind of been something that you've been passionate about, or did you kind of have to like grow into like a servant kind of attitude?
It was definitely the growth part of that. Mm-hmm. My parents were both really good at modeling that. Mm. They both throughout the years, whether it's like my friends or through the church or, you know, their friends, they all really did a great job of, you know, opening up their home, or they were really generous with like, you know, meals when someone passes away. They're the first people to show up and they're like, hey, here's some food and here's, you know, some groceries for the week or whatever it is that the person needs. So I had that model growing up, and I think, you know, learning from that and then also just being in the different roles that I've been across, whether it was sports or the nonprofit world, like it's been kind of centered around serving other people in one way or the other. And there's a sense of satisfaction to that. When you feel your best when you're serving someone else, not doing something for yourself.
That's so true.
So just kind of like doing that enough and being like, yeah, this does feel really good whenever I'm, you know, making sure people are safe or making sure, you know, our programs, our ministries have the funds they need to do the great work that they do.
Yeah.
That's fulfilling for me. Yeah. So, yeah, it definitely took some growing into, but yes, I do love serving other people.
That's so good. Because with serving, a lot of the time comes some kind of sacrifice and some kind of cost. So I think that's really cool. Like the amount of selflessness that you see that was modeled for you, but also that you carry on in both like personally and professionally. So that's really cool. Yeah. I love that so much. Thank you. That's awesome. Love. So I love that we touched on what it means to be a servant and supporting people. How do you kind of view like what you do at 518 as a support role and the purpose behind what you do and like what kind of drives you to do your role?
Sure. Yeah. One way I kind of view it is I like from a data standpoint, I'm kind of like setting up the chairs, so to speak. I'm not necessarily the person like always walking out like an event that's going on or, you know, something in the community. Like you guys are a lot more external than I am. Sometimes I make it out, but a lot of times I don't. But through my work, putting together reports, lists, people to invite or to send certain pieces to, I'm hopefully setting everybody else up for success and making their lives easier. So I like to think of myself in a way as like setting up the chairs.
Yeah.
But another thing that I've kind of come into as I've been in this role is when people hear like the words data or data and analysis or something like that, a lot of it seems kind of cold or calculating or impersonal. I don't really view it that way anymore, especially with what we do. When we get someone's birthday or we learn that someone had a loved one pass away recently that is one of our donors, having those pieces of information just helps us to be better engaged and like better friends, better have better interactions with these folks. Because without these quote unquote data points, we wouldn't be able to be there for them instead of just like treating them like a cash register or an ATM. Sure. Sarah says that a lot, treating them like an ATM.
Not the vibe.
No, it's not. We want to walk alongside them through their life experiences and like what's going on beyond just like what we're doing here at 518.
For sure.
Like we want to know those things, and it just helps us to have a better relationship with people if we have that information. You know? So that's one way that my thinking's kind of changed on data ever since I've gotten here. And we're just going to use that the most ethically.
Yeah.
Yes. The best way ethically we know how to. And so, yeah, that's just one thing.
I love that. No, I think that's so cool because, like you said, it is so easy for people to kind of view data as like, here's some numbers and here's some cells in an Excel spreadsheet. But yeah, and the idea of setting the chairs, I think, is a really good analogy for what you do. That's really, really cool. And I think something cool for listeners to kind of think about is like, what are you doing personally and professionally, and the why behind it, and like what are you passionate about because of like the work that you do. So like you said, there's a layer of intentionality that you get to have because of what you do when you know, you could just look at your position and be like, oh, numbers and data. So yeah. I think that's really cool. And it helps you find purpose and it helps you find excitement towards the mission and also finding purpose within yourself. So I think that's really, really cool. With your role here, what do you think you're kind of like most proud of with what you've accomplished here at 518 thus far?
I mean, coming into this role, if you were to tell me that I would help, you know, project manage, like we have the Orator and we have the Impact Report, the magazines that we put out. Mm-hmm. I remember, and you probably remember the first time I got asked to lead that by Rachel, you know, and take it off of her plate. I was like, how on earth am I going to do this thing?
Literally.
Like, I don't know the first thing about putting together a magazine or like gathering the stories or whatnot. Mm. But we've put, I think I've got two under my belt at this point.
Yeah.
And to the credit of our wonderful marketing team and to everybody that's helped out with the stories, again, I can't do that without them. It's come out really well and I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that has been great. Another thing is just getting better at, like, you know, the database had a lot of data that needed to be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I was able to reduce duplicate data by 50%. Hopefully that makes Crazy. People's life easier. Yes, that was pretty cool. I was very proud of that one.
Mm.
But also just kind of being able to support the Impact event and getting all of those spreadsheets put together and helping people at sign-in, getting to be a part of these different campaigns and meeting different fundraising goals, helping to be a part of that.
Yeah,
those have been really cool things to be a part of. So those mm-hmm. are a few of the accomplishments that I've been proud of.
Yeah.
Working so far.
I love that. And it's cool too to kind of think back on, like you were saying, when you were invited, I'll say invited, to do the Impact Report and the Orator, the two magazines that we produce here every year. I think it's really cool that there was potential seen in you of like, no, Evan could handle this. And even though you were kind of doubting yourself, it's like, no, you're fully capable. And people that are higher up on the ladder, for lack of a better term, like saw that in you and you accomplishing that. And I think that's something that can be kind of hard sometimes, is when you're offered something to do that's like, so like, how am I going to accomplish this, and just kind of running with it. But I think it's really cool, especially with the team here, how we all support one another. And you really, like, you rock it. Evan is like a deadline king. Like, he's so good at communicating like when things are due and getting things all set. And I think that speaks for people in the way of like, operating in your strengths is so important, because something like I wouldn't be good at that with data and keeping everyone on task. It's like, I can do other things, but it's really cool how you working in your strength and us working in our strengths and how the team really comes together. It kind of reminds me of that passage in scripture that you actually taught on, like a staff devotional, about about how it's I'm gonna butcher this so bad, you can correct me, but basically how it's like we all have different functions in the body, and how that can like create a stronger atmosphere and like bring honor to the Lord. We don't need to look left and right and be comparing. It's like, no, the Lord has given you specific giftings and specific talents and you can run with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one part is more important than another. And when one part suffers, everybody does.
For sure.
So, yeah. No, that I think our team does that really well. And Sarah encourages us to, you know, it's good to be uncomfortable trying mm-hmm. the new things. And yeah, it is funny how we all are like, I wouldn't want to do your job.
No,
and
actually,
you don't
want to
do
all.
My job.
Not at all.
So we all just kind of interact in that way. And it works. And it's really cool how God makes people differently and gives people different strengths mm-hmm. so that we can all just fulfill those different purposes.
Yeah.
So it's really cool how that's all come together.
Yeah. And I feel like too, being on a younger age team, like the donor engagement team itself is a younger team. I think it's really cool that we're learning as younger professionals how to not compare, because we're seeing people to the left and right of us doing the complete opposite of what our job is, like Melina writing grants, or currently Jonah's helping us with production for the podcast. I could never do his job, but it's cool to see how learning so young of we don't need to compare, and like you have strengths within you and everyone can just operate and run with it. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, Evan, thank you so much for sharing just kind of your why and the deeper reasonings of why you love what you do and who you are. So it's been really cool to chat. So it's been a lot of fun and excited for next episode.
Yeah, we will have an honest to goodness guest with us.
Yes,
it'll be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be so good. So yeah, y'all stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy this episode and you can take one thing from it and really just assess what it means to operate in your strengths, not be comparing. But yeah, we will see you next time.
See you guys next time.
Yay.
The Mended Futures podcast is a production of 518 Family Services, formerly Patrick Henry Family Services in Lynchburg, Virginia. Our mission is to build communities of faithful relationships that ensure children are safe and families are restored.
Mended Futures are at the heart of who we are, our stories, our hope, and our vision. They aren't just stories we tell, they're something you can help create. When you give to 518, you're not just making a donation, you're stepping into someone's story. You're helping a family find hope, and you're helping our community heal.
Because of the generosity of people like you, reconciliation is happening in our community each day. Our donors further the mission of seeing every child with a thriving family supported by a faithful community.
We want to see mended futures for families in Lynchburg, Virginia, and the four surrounding counties. So we invite you to check out our website, 518.org/givemended. That's FIVE18.org/givemended. Join us in the Ministry of Reconciliation.